This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Let us pray together. Father God, you're the one true living God. And today we welcome you with us and we worship you. We thank you for the books in the Old and the New Testament and all those stories with all those people who you have met with and their lives have been changed forever. We thank you for all the stories of all the people who are like us. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Ruth, Joshua, Esther, Nehemiah, Job, Daniel and Paul. Thank you for meeting them in dark and broken places. Thank you for meeting us over this past 12 months in which the presence of COVID and all of the restrictions we've lived under have created dark and broken places. Yet we know that no king, no emperor, no famine, no storm, no wilderness or virus is as powerful and sovereign as you, the one true living God. Nothing or no one can compare to you. You rule, you reign, and you are on your throne. We thank you that we have known this over these past 12 months, and we keep trusting in you as we look ahead. Meet with us where you find us today. We need you to change our lives now and forever. So today, Lord God, take away our sins. Remove any fears. Relieve us from anxiety. Meet with us in our doubts. Help us in our little faith to always keep believing in you, the one true living God. We thank you that you are the God who came down in person, knowing we would reject and despise you, that we would crucify you. Your son Jesus came to live and die for us, to pay a debt we could not pay, to put right our relationship with you, God, our one true living God. You went to the grave and through hell for us. We worship you. Our God who gives us life, who defeated death and who rose again. We worship you. We thank you that you love us and you keep loving us. We worship you. And we pray in the precious, powerful and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
On that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people. And in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God. For they did not meet the people of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. Yet our God turned the curse into a blessing. As soon as the people heard the law, they separated from Israel all those of foreign descent. Now before this, Eliashib the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, and who was related to Tobiah, prepared for Tobiah a large chamber where they had previously put the grain offering, the frankincense, the vessels, and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil, which were given by commandment to the Levites, singers, and gatekeepers, and the contributions from the priests. While this was taking place, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I went to the king. And after some time I asked leave of the king, and came to Jerusalem. And I then discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah, preparing for him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And I was very angry, and I threw all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I gave orders, and they cleansed the chambers, and I brought back there the vessels of the house of God, with the grain offering and the frankincense. I also found out that the portions of the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers who did the work had fled each to his field. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in heaps of grain, and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Amen.
I remember just before the Tesco Superstore opened at Newton Breda, my mum telling me about how they were going to have live turkeys for sale. And given the size of the building, I thought, well, they probably have enough space to have a live turkey section. So I began telling many people about these live turkeys that would be on sale at the shop at Newton Breda. And it wasn't until a week or two later that my mum mentioned again the live turkeys, but went on to explain that she wasn't entirely sure where she got that information from, and it might have been in a dream. Understandably, I wasn't very impressed with my mum, given the number of people that I had told about these live turkeys. But I also wasn't impressed with myself, firstly because how gullible I was, but also because it revealed to me how much I'd become part of a consumer culture in which I wasn't surprised about the availability of another choice, one of many choices that we have. Even the choice to choose a live turkey. Most, if not all of us, live a life of countless choices. We can go through a day alone and have countless choices. We can have the choice of whether we have a cappuccino, Americano, or a cortado. The choice of whether we watch Netflix or BBC One, Two, Three, Four, BBC iPlayer. Choice of schools, choice of courses at university, the choice of what phone to buy or car to buy or holiday destination. I wouldn't blame you if you have wept at the endless choice of paint colours when you're redecorating. I know I have been near to tears. We live in a world full of so many choices. Do you ever find, though, that because of our culture of choice, you're afraid to commit? Do you reply to party invitations with a maybe rather than a yes or a no? Would you prefer to make an ironclad, no turning back choice, or one you could, if need be, back out of? We live in a society with the freedom to make so many choices. So why is it that we often try to keep our options open and avoid making a choice and committing to it? In Nehemiah 13 that Pat read for us, we find the people of Judea were keeping their options open. After making the Lord God their choice in the previous chapter, within a matter of months, they soon failed to stick with and remain committed to this choice. They ignored the command found in the book of Moses in Deuteronomy to not allow Moabites or Ammonites into the temple, and the command to set aside a tithe as an offering to God, and the command to the Levites who were among the leaders in the temple to serve God in the temple, and the command to keep one day a week, a Sabbath, as a day to spend with God and to rest. Nehemiah draws special attention to the command found in the book of Moses about the Ammonites and the Moabites. Why? What was significant about not choosing to obey this command? You see, this command wasn't motivated by race or politics or money. It was simply because the Ammonites and the Moabites traditionally worshipped more than one god. They kept their options open. So they saw no issue with holding on to their Moabite or Amorite religion, along with having the Lord God as just another god. The book of Moses recognized this and asked for genuine, definite, committed worship from any Ammonite or Moabite who might visit the temple. An example of someone who did this is Ruth, and you can read her story in the book of Ruth. She was a Moabite, but she committed to God. Tobiah, though, who we know from chapter 2 and chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah, was an Ammonite and a former enemy of the people of Jerusalem. And he was quite willing to accept a room in the temple from his relative, who was the priest, a room that had been designed to be set aside for the tithes and the offerings to God. Now it was set aside for Tobiah and for his pleasure and his glory. Nehemiah's reaction described in verse 8 wasn't driven by race or politics or money, but simply by the disregard for God and the things of God, because they gave no attention to the first commandment that God gave his people. You shall have no other gods before me. In this, the first commandment, God is saying, make your choice. Nehemiah had only recently returned from the capital of the Persian Empire, a civil servant for the king of Persia, one of the most powerful men who ever lived and reigned. Yet Nehemiah still was committed to his choice, the Lord God. Even willing to risk confronting his old enemy Tobiah and being accused of offending the Ammonite people, what Nehemiah did, throwing out all of Tobiah's furniture, reminds me of what Jesus did in the temple when he overturned the tables of the money changers. During the week in which he arrived in Jerusalem for his crucifixion, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us in their gospel accounts that Jesus upset and offended the leaders of the people. But Jesus had made his choice, and he was committed to it. In what areas of your life do your choices that honor God offend others, or will offend others? What choice will we make when there are difficult decisions about what we say or what we do because of our faith in God? Will we trust God? Will we please God? Will we continue to choose God? Will we worship God in that moment, as difficult as it may be for us? Or will we disregard God and in that moment make a different choice? In his book, The Paradox of Choice, psychologist Barry Schwartz explains why we have trouble committing, why we love to keep our choices open. He says that as a culture, we demand choice. We demand options. We imagine that more options then mean more freedom, And most people think that limitless freedom must be a good option. The irony, though, Schwartz says in his book, The Paradox of Choice, is that this apparently limitless choice doesn't actually make us happy. The number of choices available to us simply becomes overwhelming and actually makes it difficult for us to ever have the joy of being fully committed to anything or anyone. Even if we do commit, our culture makes us feel dissatisfied with the choice we've made. So we don't want to make a mistake or cut down our options. In fact, we may become so fearful of making a choice at all, we simply refuse to make a choice. And we do that, we start then worshipping a false god. The god of endless options. The god of open options. This god has been present in our world since the very beginning of time. In Genesis, we read how Eve was questioned and challenged by the serpent, the evil one, a false god opposed to the one true God. This false god, Satan, made Adam and Eve doubt the Lord God's options to them and suggested another option, that they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that they'd have more options. They listened to the God of open options and they sinned against the Lord God. What is most frightening of all about the God of open options is that you may not even know that you're worshipping him, because he pretends not to be a God at all, but just part of our culture and the environment in which we live in. Read the start of Genesis and the account of Adam and Eve, and that God of open options was a serpent, a common snake on the ground. In fact, the God of open options promises you freedom from all gods and all responsibilities. Keep your options open, he says. Worship me, and you don't have to serve anyone or anything. No commitment necessary. Individual freedom is yours for the taking. Have your Bible and your Buddha. No harm done. Similarly, the people of Judea thought that by letting Ammonites and Moabites come and go, worshipping their gods and the Lord God without any commitment, was no harm done. And choosing to disregard some of God's commands and not committing fully to the Lord God was keeping their options open. No harm done. When we worship the God of open options, there is harm done. He is killing us. He kills our relationships because he tells us it's better to not get too involved. He kills our service to others because he tells us it might be better to keep our time, our evenings, our weekends, our Sundays to ourselves. He kills our giving because he tells us these are uncertain financial times and you never know when you might need that money. And he kills our joy in Christ because he tells us it's better not to be thought of as too spiritual, too committed. The living God, the loving God, the Lord God, did not create us to keep our options open. He didn't create us to live in fear of making a choice. God created us to choose, to make choices, God created us to commit. God created us to reflect his loving faithfulness. And all of this is meant to bring us joy and contentment. God gave us the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. He didn't give us that commandment to torment us and give us a hard time, but to invite us into a loving, faithful relationship with all the blessings of heaven and earth. Of course, it's right to be careful in our decision making, to apply our intellect and our reasoning to our faith and the faith decisions we make. It's right to pray, to seek counsel from scripture and wise Christians. The bigger the decision, of course, the more careful we should be. However, when we don't choose and when we don't commit, then we show a lack of trust in God. A lack of trust in the sovereignty of God who ordains all the decisions we will make. But also he gathers up the frayed ends, the broken bits, and works all things for good and its glory. Returning again to Nehemiah chapter 13, Nehemiah reminds us the Lord God is the God who can turn a curse into a blessing. So even if we make a bad choice, get a decision wrong, and you know what? At some time we will. I know I do. But we can go to our God and trust the Lord God with the mess that we have made or we are in. And the Lord God can transform our lives, even those things that are cursed, into something that is a blessing. Another reason for rejecting the God of open options is because the living God himself is a God who chooses, a God of integrity, a God of faithfulness. His word is true and he commits to it. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. At any given moment, you must choose who you will follow. If you choose the God of open options, you cannot at the same moment choose the one true God. The one who deliberately closed off his options in order to save your life. Nothing narrows your options more than allowing your hands and your feet to be nailed to a wooden cross. So let me ask you, in what areas of your life are you still flirting with the God of open options? Where are you refusing or reluctant to make a choice? Maybe you're reluctant to commit to a particular relationship. It may even be in your marriage or in your family. Maybe you're not truly committed at work. Maybe you're fearful of choosing to help by giving your time and skills to serve without any reward or award. Maybe your restless eyes are on constant alert for something or someone or some place that is better. Maybe you're keeping your options open with God himself, not allowing yourself to become too committed. Nehemiah is speaking to you in chapter 13. And he is saying, make your choice. And if you have made a choice, maybe it has been vows you said when your child was baptized, or vows you spoke to God when you were confirmed and received communion for the first time, or vows when you made when you were ordained as an elder, or a vow that you made in a quiet place, away from others, just you before God in prayer. Nehemiah is calling you back to that choice. to that choice today, to those words you freely spoke, and asking you if you are still committed to the Lord God and his ways. I believe when we meet again as a church family in Malone at Easter, it will be an opportunity for us all to recommit to God. If need be, for you to start afresh your commitment to the Lord God. To mark this moment of us returning to worship together in person as you returning to the Lord God as your choice. No more of this half-hearted, take it or leave it, little faith. No more non-committal, risk-averse, weak-willed faith. But instead, we make our choice. We confidently make a choice. We choose the Lord God. We serve the one true living God. We follow his way and obey his commands. We make Jesus' choices. We pray, yet not my will be done, but yours, Lord, prayers. We take up our cross. We make sacrifices like Jesus made for us. We worship the God who chooses. The God who chose the cross for us, for you, for me, for the whole world. God who chose the cross, who made the difficult choice, but it was the right choice. May we, followers of Jesus, God's people, make right choices. God-honoring choices, even when they are difficult. And they are a cross to bear. But it's all for God's glory. On what might seem like a curse, God will and can change into a blessing if we keep trusting in him and we choose him and we make our choice. Let's pray. Lord God, you have said, you shall have no other gods before me. You have invited us into a committed, loving, everlasting relationship with you. We have never received a better invitation than that. Why would we reply, maybe? You have demonstrated your faithful love for us when you chose the cross. Forgive us when we fail to love you in the same way. Forgive us for keeping our options open, for failing to trust in you, for giving you in your way and your truth little thought, for disregarding your commands. So we pray the prayer Jesus prayed on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. We bring to mind things in our lives, people in our lives, relationships, places, and we say, not my will be done, but yours, O Lord. We choose you. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep choosing you. So your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth, in our lives as it is in heaven. Today we make our choice. Holy Spirit, by your power, guide us, equip us, inspire us. Inspire in us the desire to keep choosing you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chose the cross with every breath, the perfect life, the perfect death. You chose the cross, a crown of thorns you wore. offer us and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross. And though your soul is overwhelmed with pain, obedient to death you overcame. I'm lost in wonder, I'm lost in love, I'm lost in praise forevermore, because of Jesus' unfailing love. I am forgiven, I am restored. You loosed the cords of sinfulness and broke the chains of my disgrace. You chose the cross. Up from the grave, victorious, rose again so glorious. You chose the cross. The sorrow that surrounded you was mine. Yet not my will but yours be done, you cried. And lost in wonder, and lost in
Let us pray. It has been almost a year since restrictions began due to COVID-19, and life has changed unimaginably for many people. Church life has been very different, a challenge for Malone and churches around the globe. I pray for those in church leadership. Lord, grant them wisdom as they endeavour to connect with the community and continue church activities as best as possible. We have seen in the past year that we are resilient, so I pray for that continued strength as the situation is ongoing and as we aim to return to gathering together. As pupils begin to return to schools after a long period without the daily contact with their friends, and with some naturally feeling isolated, I pray that they will benefit not only in terms of their social contact, but also that the return to classroom teaching will be a straightforward adaptation. I pray also for teachers and school staff as they aim to make it an easy return to school for children, and that they will have the support to work with new demands placed upon them. I pray for those directly working to combat the virus and its effects, including administering the vaccine. I ask, Lord, that you will continue to be with medical personnel, researchers, administrators, those in government who have faced and continue to face great challenges. Lord, please be with business owners, employers, as they strive to make difficult decisions in these challenging times. Some may have experienced an increase in business in this recent period, but there are also many sectors with businesses struggling to survive and retain employees. I pray that these business owners will sense your presence, Lord, and know that you are with them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.